DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Naturally, early in the season, you're trying to get a feel of what's new in the next season, right? We just played an outstanding team, outstanding defense. They were very different than the last time we played them. And sometimes you can get caught up trying to figure that out. We had a couple three and outs that it's hard to get back in a rhythm. In the second half, you started getting a feel of exactly kind of how the game's being played. Kind of have to kind of throw the ball at that point. We were kind of in a two-minute drill basically the whole second half, and would have loved to be able to obviously get people more involved in the first half. Those two three and outs were something that was big that kept me up last night.
Joe Brady, Bills offensive coordinator, on the game against Baltimore. We're going to get to Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast and the Herd Mentality Substack as well. Want to make sure people know about that, because Joe does some All-22 breakdowns, and you can take a look at what happened in the game, what went right, what went wrong, and he joins us on the Western Hotline to chat about it. Joe, good morning. It's, of course, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Wednesday, and Victory Wednesday, Joe. We don't get to talk until Wednesday on the air here, so I want to call it like a Victory Wednesday.
Well, I think after a win like that, it's going to be victory Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah. Thursday. The team has to move on to the Jets, but we can still relish in that win.
That's sure. Right. And you were actually there. You got a chance to go to this game, which you don't often get a chance to go to as many.
Yeah, it was super cool. Not very cool to have a flight delayed 28 hours, but the consequence of being stuck in Buffalo on Sunday and getting some tickets and being able to be there for that game was really, really special. I feel grateful to have been part of it, and probably my last game at Highmark, and so
wow.
What a heck of a way to say goodbye to a place that's brought me a lot of great memories.
That does qualify, I think, as riding off into the sunset with the with the stadium, I think, for you. It's tough to top.
Right. It's almost like I don't even want to go to another game.
Right.
That's it. I'm good.
So, Joe, you had a chance to dig into the All-22, and we'll talk a little bit about the Ravens and what the Bills can do better and maybe turn our eyes to the Jets at the end of the segment here, but let's talk about the defense and what you found. From watching what you put out there on the Herd Mentality Substack, I'm keyed in on the safeties, both Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop in this game. You know, there's the highlighted play where Bishop gets thrown to the ground by Derrick Henry. People kind of looked at that one, but there's more than that. Maybe that's a tough ask for Bishop. What did you see out of the safeties in general looking back in this game, and how much they maybe might need to improve?
Yeah, it was a rough go for the safeties, and I would say more so Taylor Rapp than Cole Bishop, which was pretty surprising. And, you know, it didn't feel like I was watching Taylor Rapp, to be honest with you. I think Taylor Rapp's a very good safety in terms of tackling and fitting the run, and he's an instinctive player, and he looked like a shell of himself in that game. And I do wonder, you know, as a player that has had a concussion each of the last two times he's played the Ravens, if that was weighing on his mind, because it just didn't feel like he was playing fast, physical, assertive, really just kind of some blunders that just make your head scratch. I mean, it's a run play, and he's dropped him back into single high deep coverage zone. I mean, it just didn't look like a guy that was ready to go and looked like he was really calculated and maybe at times in self-preservation mode against Derrick Henry and this Ravens offense. So, you know, I think Cole Bishop was objectively better than him in this game. And not that Cole Bishop played great, like, don't get me wrong, but Taylor Rapp really had his struggles, and it's wasn't the type of performance that we'd expect from Taylor Rapp. So I'm sure he's looking to bounce back. But, yeah, it was a rough go for those safeties, especially Rapp.
Safeties being the third level. Second level, linebackers, Bernard, Milano, when it comes to the same kind of stuff, like run fits, is that where things became the biggest problem for the Bills in stopping Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I honestly put a lot of this on the linebackers. I went into the watch expecting to be very disappointed with the defensive line, and I don't feel that way. I think there was some individual moments that, you know, needed to be better with the defensive line, but collectively the linebackers I thought were really the issue with the defense. Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano just didn't play fast. I felt like they're, you know, I think you probably heard a lot of commentary about Baltimore, and they're altering their cadence and their tempo and quick snapping a little bit to kind of throw off the Bills and their ability to communicate as a defense, but then also their ability to disguise, right? You want to show the offensive picture pre-snap that changes post-snap. And when that snap timing is really different all the time, it makes it hard to get into that rhythm. And so that's first and foremost. But I thought they were slow to process. I thought they were hesitant to trigger. They, you know, neither one of them are good take on players in terms of downhill and playing the run and playing off contact. But, you know, when you're not processing quick and that allows the blocks to get ahead of you, oh, man, it was just a rough go. They just didn't feel it well. They didn't play well. There's just no way around it. Those guys didn't play well. It's probably the worst performance I've seen from Bernard and Milano. And so the front wasn't amazing, but it was fine. And I thought that the linebackers were the biggest issue with that defense on Sunday night.
Was it any different, a little add-on to that, when Dorian Williams would come in and they were in base? Did that make any difference to you when you saw their run defense?
There were some good moments, and one thing I will say about the Bills' run defense is that, you know, we talk a lot about them presenting light boxes. They really didn't. In fact, the Bills were – I'm pulling my notes here. The Bills were eighth lowest of any team in week one in presenting light boxes, and that's not where they live. They're usually top five in presenting light boxes, and they played three linebackers on 33% of snaps. You're talking about a third of snaps. You have three linebackers in the game. And I thought it was better at times when Dorian Williams was on the field. He gives you that player that's better equipped to play into the line of scrimmage and take on blocks. And he had some good physical run fills. But you know, it's the other guys got to play too. And 58 and eight just weren't up to it. They didn't meet this moment. So it didn't really matter so much that they made those adjustments. Those guys didn't play well enough to do their job and be secure. And I do think that there is something to, and I know that this is not okay. The Bills gave up like 10 runs of 10 yards or more. And if you put those aside collectively, the rest was decent. But you can't be giving up 10 runs of or 10 yards or more. I mean, a lot of that did come in chunks, but there were a lot of chunks. So, the linebackers got to be better. There's no doubt about it.
Joe, we had a caller last segment, I think, saying, I don't think Baltimore is exactly a good standard for this Bills defense. And what I said was, I think that's probably right season long, but the way this game went, if they do meet in January, will you be concerned about the matchup again? We hear a lot that it's a bad matchup for the Bills. Is there a reason to you table the concern for now, but bring it back when they meet again?
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think that's just the way that it is. Look, every style of football, whether it's the way the Bills play or any team, there's going to be advantages to the way that you play. There's going to be disadvantages to the way that you play. Nothing is going to always be great against every team. And this Baltimore team, which is a unicorn in some ways with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and what they're able to get done, it just exposes the worst parts of the way the Bills choose to play defense. And, you know, even when you're not even – talking about light boxes, right? They kind of corrected that. You still saw the issues. They prioritize matchup style linebackers that thrive playing in space. The most important thing to the Bills is playing in space and defending the pass. And so you have these smaller linebackers that are not very good players being downhill and physical and playing into the line of scrimmage. And against Baltimore, it's going to expose the worst parts of your choices structurally for how you play defense. And so you even can kind of couple that with kind of some of the choices of that defensive tackle. And even though Ed Oliver was unbelievable in the game, you know, they don't necessarily have this deep pool of guys that are super firm, steady anchors against the run that's going to really own their space. And so it's just a tough matchup. And I think that's why, and you go back to the playoff game last year, the Bills were happy to just let the game play out, let Baltimore make these mistakes and get out of there with a win. And I think that they wanted to embrace that to an extent on Sunday night, but things, obviously, you're down two scores before you can blink after you go three and out twice on offense. And it's like, well, you gotta go get it or else you're just going to get smoked. And obviously, a lot went right for the Bills to pull that off. But it's just a very, very challenging matchup for the Bills on defense. I think the encouraging thing is that the Bills' offense looked as good as it ever has against Baltimore. So if you got to go score points, at least you showed that you can do it. But I think it's just always going to be a challenging game for Buffalo based on the way the Bills play defense against that Ravens offense.
What changed for the Bills offense? Because early in the game, they you know, they punt a couple times, couple three and outs, looked like they were struggling to find answers down the field. And then, of course, in the fourth quarter, Josh Allen throws for 250 yards. So how much of it was that the Bills changed their approach? How much was it Baltimore kind of – did they play softer? Why was it such a tale of two halves, or three quarters and then the fourth?
I do think that there is something to be said for Baltimore and the game script and them playing defense with a lead, right, and them kind of being willing to not be as aggressive with how they played, and the Bills obviously were more aggressive with how they played, so it was a good mix. But I think that more than anything, Josh Allen put on a masterpiece. I mean, the guy took over the football game. He became unstoppable. He willed it. He made miracle plays. Just unbelievable mature quarterbacking with how he manipulated the pocket and how he just approached everything. You know, you've seen Josh in games like this in the past, week one against a big-time opponent, showcase game, and, you know, he can chase some plays and, you know, maybe feel like he wants to put on a show. But even when the Bills were down, I thought he just continued to make great decisions and really do what was necessary to play this game in a way that gave him a chance to win it. And you can find yourself probably in a game like that chasing it a little, and Josh never did. He took the right opportunities with the football, even when they were down. And I thought that's really what happened. Josh Allen took over the football game, and they made a couple plays on defense that gave him a chance.
There was some social media debate yesterday on how impressive Coleman's performance was. When you saw what he did, mostly in the fourth quarter, how much credit do you think he should get for the stat line that he put up and the plays he made?
He should get a ton of credit. The conversation on social media, I think, is rooted in separation metrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And earned separation versus, you know, created separation. I don't think that's important. Keon Coleman's never going to be a dynamic separator. That's not who he is. That's not who he's ever been. But there is a way for him to be effective in this offense, and I think we saw exactly that, where he's able to make good plays on the ball and elevate and play above the rim. And when things break down, Josh Allen can find him. And, boy, there's been so much good with that piece of it and the scramble drill. You saw, of course, against the Ravens on Sunday night. But even when he came back from injury last year, he made some big plays in the scramble drill against Detroit and even the Jets game as well. So that piece is coming on nicely. And you know, I think you've seen teams willing to kind of give him some one-on-one opportunities, and Keon's able to work back downstem and to the football and find some space, right? I think there's been like a mental improvement from Keon Coleman to feel coverage and get himself into some good spots. And so, no, he's not leaving guys in a blender with route running. He's never going to do that. But that doesn't mean he can't find space, get open, make plays, and present a meaningful target for Josh Allen. I think you saw the best of what he can mean for this Bills offense on Sunday night.
I want to get you on Jackson Hawes before we let you go, because I know you've got a lot to say about the Bills rookie tight end.
My goodness. This guy's quickly going to become one of my favorites. Obviously, I think the standout to anybody who watched the game was the 29-yard reception on the seam shot where, you know, it's a double catch and he concentrates and hangs onto it. I mean, it's the guy's first target in the NFL as a guy that's billed as a blocking tight end. It's an unbelievable play. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it was Kincaid. I was there at the game. And I was like, that's an unbelievable play by Kincaid. And I get home and I'm like, when was this 29-yard catch from Jackson Hawes? And I had this moment where I'm like, oh, my God, that was Jackson Hawes. But it's the blocking. Oh, he's pissing people off, let me tell you. The way that he's getting after people. I mean, obviously, the technique, right, it's the controlled aggression combined with plus technique that makes Jackson Hawes this lethal blocker. He is moving bodies. He is collapsing the entire side of the line of scrimmage to set up James Cook cutback opportunities. He is going to be an X factor in so many ways that aren't going to show up on a box score. And so it's the effectiveness, but then it's the tone-setting nature. You saw he was under the skin of so many Ravens defensive players, and so – it's nice to have that identity piece for, you know, the physical type of offense the Bills want to deploy. And it's game one, but I'm excited for watching Jackson Hawes for a long time to come.
Joe Marino of the Lockdown Bills podcast and the Herd Mentality Substack. Go to Substack, you know, search it. Herd Mentality Substack, lots of great stuff. The All 22 is always very valuable. On to the Jets, Joe. So brief thought on them. Is this a better opportunity to try and show that the defense can kind of get things together, or should Bills fans be a little concerned about that run game?
Well, I've been calling it the dollar store version of the Ravens, you know, so they're going to get challenged in similar ways, physical offensive line, dual threat quarterback, dynamic receiver in Garrett Wilson. That's somewhat similar to Zay Flowers. They got some, you know, they got a big bruising back in Braylon Allen. Of course, he's not Derrick Henry. They have a speedy guy in Breece Hall, you know, that's somewhat like Justice Hill. So, yeah, I think you have some parallels to structurally what these offenses can be. And, you know, I think it's good to get them back-to-back. I hate getting both of them early in the season. That was on my wish list of things I didn't want, was Baltimore and the Jets early in the season, because they are unique opponents that you want to get some tape on, especially the Jets, right? Everything's new there, and you're trying to get a feel for what they want to be and how they're going to use everything. But I think getting them back-to-back is helpful where, I mean, come on, if you're a front seven player, if you're a linebacker, you're Rappin Bishop. I mean, you're under the microscope. You got to quickly get it together. And I think if you're those guys, I think you should want this. And I'm excited for the Bills to hopefully show some growth week over week with that defense.
Very good. Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. Subscribe to that Locked On Bills channel, the Herd Mentality Substack. The All-22 was great to watch as he's laying all that out. You can check that out. When we get back, more of your phone calls. And I have maybe my favorite stat from week one that might lead to a new pool or a new game. I'll explain. That's next.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.